Welcome to The Gift of Grace with Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar. The Gift of Grace is a program where we read and teach God's Word, proclaiming the kingdom and salvation in Jesus the Messiah. And now, here's your host, Phil Gigliotti and Stephen Garchar.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome to The Gift of Grace on the Word 1220. This is Phil Gigliotti here with my friend Stephen Garchar.
Hi, Phil. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, Steve. And we have a great program for you tonight. We have a little different show. We're not doing a Bible teaching today. We're not doing a any kind of a teaching message. We are going to have an amazing Messianic Jewish singer named Paul Wilbur on the show, who is a personal friend of ours and has certainly been, for me, one of my heroes in the faith. He has had a huge influence on me since I became a believer, and his music and his friendship have had just a huge impact on me, and it's just really exciting to have him on our radio show tonight. Paul Wilbur is an Integrity Music recording artist, and he is also the founder of Wilbur Ministries in Jacksonville, Florida. He is a Jewish man, as I mentioned before, who came to faith in Yeshua the Messiah some years ago, but we'll let him tell you a little more about that. And in 1990, he recorded his first CD called Up to Zion. Since then, he has had several more solo albums, including Shalom Jerusalem, Jerusalem Arise, The Lion of Judah, The Watchman, and most recently, an incredible project called Desert Rain, which we're going to talk about. He has also recorded in Spanish and in Portuguese, and I think is planning to record in some other languages as well, including Russian and maybe even Chinese. Paul lives in Jacksonville, Florida, with his wife, Luann. He has two sons, Nathan and Joel, and I am just blessed to know him and to be his friend. And we are going to bring him on the air now. So let's have Paul come in. Hi, Paul.
Hi, guys. What a joy to be with you here in this. What a great, great. I hope I can live up to your advertising there, Phil. You're a dear friend, and it's a real pleasure to be on the show with you.
Well, thank you. This is exciting for me, too. And the listeners at home will hear a little bit something different, a little something different than us doing a Bible study all the time. Anyway.
Yeah, good stuff. I've heard you teach, and God has really invested some great stuff in you.
Thank you. That means a lot coming from you. Anyway, I thought maybe we would start with having you tell us a little bit about how you came to faith in Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, a little bit about your testimony, and then we could ask some questions about some other parts of your life.
Sure. Well, my testimony began with a pretty girl. back in the 70s, I was motivated, like a lot of the guys my age and in the early to mid-20s, pretty had a lot to do with what we thought, where we went, what we did, how we dressed, and so it was with me. I was at graduate school at Indiana University, and I asked a pretty girl out, and she asked me to go to church. I felt like it was a conspiracy, actually, because for those couple of years, every time I would pick out a pretty Gentile girl and ask her out on a date, they asked me to church, and I thought, you know, this is a conspiracy. I don't get this. So I took the bait. I went to church, and I had an experience with God that absolutely rocked my little world. I had never experienced the presence of God. A guy got up and sang, not a song about God. He didn't sing a hymn. He didn't sing, you know, one of the great songs of the church. He sang a song that he had written to Jesus, thanking him for saving him. And I'll tell you, guys, what happened was the presence of God so filled that sanctuary, which happened to be a junior high auditorium. It was a new startup church that was meeting in a junior high, mm-hmm. which I thought would have been safe. But apparently God goes to junior high schools as well.
Yes, especially when he's so after you.
he was after me big time, put a hook in my jaw. I didn't know what was happening. I just knew that I had just experienced the God that I had been singing about in temple but had never met. And he showed up at church in a junior high school and rocked my world. Well, through some very strange circumstances, I wound up at this guy's house, the guy that sang the song to Jesus. I wound up at his house for dinner a couple months later, and a few weeks after that, he led me to the Lord on a fishing trip to Bumpus Mill in Bumpus Mills, Tennessee. Mm. It's so supernatural. And it was so ordained by God, it would take me a little while to tell you all the details, which always, you know, brings tears to my eyes because God is so good. You know, once
Amen.
Once he's got his attention on you, his love is so strong and his desire for us is so deep. You're just not getting away.
Yes.
I talked to a guy this morning. In Starbucks, I was standing there waiting for my coffee, and the guy just happened to start up a conversation with me, and he said, "So what do you do?" Which is, I love that question.
Yeah.
I travel the world and sing about Jesus. And then he just stared at me. And he said, "Oh, well, that's pretty good." And so we start this conversation. The guy's been diagnosed with cancer. I started to tell him about you know, doctors are just practicing. I know you're a doctor, Phil, and it's not a personal slam.
Right. Yeah.
But we don't call it a medical practice for nothing.
That's right.
And I told him, you know, there's only one real doctor, and his name is Jesus. So
Amen.
We had this great conversation, but it was that presence of God that hooked me.
Mm.
And I couldn't get away from it. So a couple months later, I prayed to receive the Lord. And, I mean, immediately I started singing songs to Jesus, just like this guy, Jerry Williams, who led me to the Lord back in 1977. And for 33 and a half years, I just can't stop. I've been doing it every week, every day, four or five different languages.
Yes.
We are preparing for German and for Hebrew this coming year.
Wow.
And life is good.
That's
Jesus
awesome.
is awesome. God is good
yes.
all the time. As God
Amen. And every time I think that you can't possibly make a better CD than the one you just released, you release a better CD.
Well, bless you. You know, I was really excited about this one. We were down in the desert of En Gedi. It was 115 degrees. We had 5,000 people with us that braved that heat. Wow, what a special time, and now it's available on a plastic disc.
And it's
so
the
you don't
best.
Have to stand in 115 degrees to hear it anymore.
No, that's right. And this is the best one. And we're going to tell our listeners how they can get a copy, because Steve and I have been telling everyone we know to go online and buy this CD. And Steve, why don't you tell them how you can buy a CD?
Sure. If you're listening, the new recording from Paul Wilbur is Desert Rain. It's available now at his website, wilburministries.com, and it was recorded live in the desert of En Gedi with over 5,000 worshipers who gathered to sing over the nation of Israel and pray for healing rain that would bring new life and to dry hearts and a desert land. And, you know, Paul, I've listened. I think I've worn my CD out already, but the more I listen to it, the more I'm drawn into the worship, and that's one of the things that when Phil introduced me to a couple of your songs from Shalom Jerusalem, the Lord just spoke so powerfully to me about the song Hinei Matov, that it's about one new man. It's about Jew and Gentile worshiping together. And that just captured my heart. And I've just fallen in love with this music because it's so passionate and it speaks so much to the returning of the Messiah and who God is. And, this CD is, boy, the anointing that's on it. And the prophetic words that are there is just awesome.
It was very powerful for me to hear this, not only because I love all your music and we're friends, but I recently was in Israel and recently was in En Gedi and was standing around there when it was 115 degrees. And I thought, where in the world did he possibly record music here? There's nothing there but a handful of palm trees.
Well, that's true. That's true. But a lot of people went to a lot of trouble that night. It was the first night of the Feast of Tabernacles. And all those people came and they braved the heat and the desert. And as you've testified, God really met us. There were miracles there that night. Just a special time in the presence of God.
Wow. Yeah, we want to talk a little bit more about that. But first, I want you to tell our listeners about your Cleveland connection, because I'm sure they'll want to hear that.
Well, Cleveland is near and dear to my heart. Actually, Baldwin Wallace, down there in the suburbs in Boca, was the only college. It's the only school that... Now, I lived in northern New Jersey, where I went to elementary school and junior high and high school. And for some reason, Baldwin Wallace College was the only school that I applied to.
Wow.
It was the only one that I wanted to go to. And they accepted me. I wound up going to Baldwin Wallace, did a bachelor's degree in music education. I was actually a fraternity brother with Jimmy Tressel, who is the head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, who we've been rooting for ever since. And it just 7 years, I taught music at Berea High, Mid Park High School, met lots of wonderful people there, sang in some restaurants on the weekends, and it just had Cleveland is very dear to me. I went to Temple there at the Temple downtown Cleveland, sang in the choir, you know, did my nice Jewish boy thing. My voice teacher was the cantor. I had 7 wonderful years there in Cleveland. The winters, I don't have very much to say about.
Yes.
You don't miss those, huh?
I do love Cleveland.
And recently,
we used to go down and watch the Cuyahoga burn during the summer. It was great entertainment.
And we have always mentioned to our listeners, when you come to Cleveland and you do a service at Tikvat Israel or do a praise concert there and some of the other churches, and we always tell them, you'll only come in the summer.
Exactly.
We won't get you here in July.
I know enough about winter in Cleveland not to brave that. The ice, the snow,
yes,
the wind off the lake.
Yes.
I love Cleveland. I love Cleveland in the summer.
Right. But we do have Corky and Lenny's here.
Oh, thank God for Corky and Lenny's. Real food. Real food.
So as you can hear, he does have a Cleveland connection with fond memories of Cleveland, especially in the winter. And when we will certainly keep you informed of when he is coming back here. We try to get him here at least once a year. And at Tikvat Israel, which, as you've heard Steve and I talk about many times, the Messianic Jewish congregation here. And again, I always have to add, Messianic Jews are Jews who believe in Jesus, Yeshua, as their Messiah. There's always a little bit of confusion about that. And Paul has done some amazing praise concerts and Shabbat services there that have been very, very powerful and have attracted a lot of people from the community to come to Tikvat Israel congregation. And that's at 1370 Richmond Road in Lyndhurst, for those of you who live in the area and might want to come. The services are Saturday mornings at 10:30. And it's Saturday morning, not Sunday morning.
Saturday morning for Shabbat.
If you go Sunday morning, you will find First Assembly Church meeting there. They're awesome too, but
you know, Paul, the last time that you were in at Tikvat, I had told a number of people, I've been telling a number of people about just the worship services over the past couple of years. And the one gentleman, he went to the service at Tikvat.
Oh,
and
I'm picking up my wife at the airport, and the dogs are very excited that she's here. I brought all the dogs. They haven't seen mommy all day long.
Aww.
And so that's the noise you're hearing in the background.
Aww.
That's okay. But I was going to say that the one gentleman, he went to Tikvat And after it, I saw him after, he goes, Steve, it's just like you said it would be.
Mm-hmm.
And just that anointing was so strong there, and the presence of God just so filled the synagogue
yes.
there. And that's, you know, being in the presence of the Lord, and I've seen you worship enough times that it's always there. The Lord always is there present when you're worshiping. Can you tell the listeners a little bit about, like, what transpired and how all this happened? Because I think you were in Chicago or in Illinois for a time as a music pastor. And then the Lord spoke to you, and then things changed and took your whole life in a different direction, right?
Yeah, good. Actually, 1977, when I came to know the Lord, the guy who led to Jesus and another fella formed a group called Harvest. And we started traveling. We recorded with Benson Records out of Nashville, Tennessee. And I got hooked on sharing the Lord with people through music. That turned into something from a contemporary Christian kind of approach to praise and worship, because it was the presence of God that really hooked me, and I found was also really what would change hearts. I could sing and the music could be great, but unless God filled the place, yeah. it's just good music.
Yeah. Right.
So it was in Chicago when I was a worship pastor. We had a visiting preacher who came in, and for 7 weeks we spent morning and night in the presence of God. Well, for the first time in my life, I had a lovely home. I had a nice car. We had furniture. I wasn't concerned about feeding my family. And one night in the presence of God, the Lord spoke to me and he said, "Do you like this?" And I said, "Yes, of course I like this. I've got a lovely home. Thank you for our home and my family." And the Lord said, "Is this enough for you?" And I didn't understand what he was saying. I said, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Well, you can have this or you can have the nations."
Wow.
But you have to choose.
Wow.
You can't have all this and the nations. And wow. I said, "Well, Lord, I'll take the nations."
Wow. You know, let's stop right there.
Sold our house.
Yeah, we're coming up on our first break, so we're going to have 1 minute of a little commercial interruption, and then we'll be right back with Paul Wilbur here on The Gift of Grace, WHKW, The Word.
The city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts. Har-Hakodesh, for thus says the Lord, I will save my
You're listening to The Gift of Grace on AM 1220, The Word.